I'm joined on the line by James Newman, who is co-founder of Spanking Pulp Press and has a new book, The Black Rose, coming out very soon. James, how are you today?
I'm very well, sir, and delighted to be here with you in cyberspace.
Yes, it's quite a nice operating area, I think. How did Spanking Pulp Press come into being?
Good question. I was I'd written a couple of novels with a local publishing house here, published here locally, and I had a friend who had also written a book, Mr. John Desch, and the rights on his books were just about to revert, and I had some new material, and the idea just came to us. Why don't we set up a publishing house and put out these free books? And after, I guess 6 months of trading, we had something like 25 novels on our books. So it all happened very, very quickly, and it's been a very exciting ride. But the idea came from basically two authors and editors who appreciated each other's work and decided to work together to bring out some pulp fiction titles.
Now, you say here, but where's here?
Well, I'm in Bangkok. I've lived in Thailand for 13 years, and John is over in New Zealand. The company is registered in New Zealand, and our authors are from all over the rock. We've got probably mainly U.S. authors, as it's pulp fiction and crime kind of stuff, science fiction as well, but some local authors as well. So yeah, it all very, you know, it just sprang up very quickly, and it's been an exciting ride so far.
Now, you say you settled in Bangkok 13 years ago. What led you to go and live in Thailand?
Well, what leads one to do anything? I was a simple backpacker. Came here in 2001, just after 9/11, and I moved around a lot. I lived in India for a while, worked in Bollywood, all the surrounding countries, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia, etc. And but Bangkok just seemed to be a good place for an author. To work from, you know, you would hear all these glamorous tales of Joseph Conrad and Graham Greene and Somerset Maugham and people like this going to or passing through the Far East and writing novels there. And of course, there's a very large homegrown artistic community in Bangkok. We have artists, filmmakers, authors. Photographers, a whole cauldron of creativity in Bangkok at the moment, comparable, I would say, to Paris in the 20s or the 50s, or perhaps New York in the 70s. It's a very exciting, vibrant place to be, and I'm glad I made the decision to move here years ago.
What first led you into writing? Because it's not everybody who sits down and says, I think I might write four rather good books, and it's not an easy decision. So how did you fall into it?
Well, I literally did fall into it. I remember as a child, I was about 7 years old, and I had an accident. I broke my leg, and there was a school trip stay in the library for the week. So I read my way around that entire library, and then I'd moved on to other local libraries and just read obsessively and wrote a great deal from a very early age. I can't remember the first time, but I was certainly writing novels at 7 years, 8 years old.
Do you think it's important for an author to read as widely as they write?
It's essential. It's not important. It's essential for a number of reasons. I think, firstly, it's essential because one has to develop a style, and one does not want to mimic anyone else's style. And it's if you go into writing without having read omnivorously, then you could quite easily find yourself writing something that's been written before, or writing in a similar style that's been done before. So I would be very suspicious of any writer that doesn't read at least a novel a week.
I think there's a lot of novelists on the market at the moment to be very suspicious of them.
Well, there are.
Yeah, I think there's an awful lot of novelists. I don't think they've even read their own books, but we won't go into that. Yeah, well, don't pull the curtain back too far. Pulp fiction is a genre I thought had died out, and it's made a comeback. Is it difficult for modern authors to write this pulpy, noir-y fiction? The sort of things you write, and pull it off, because you know the world's changed. Has noir changed with it?
Well, I think the world has gone full circle. Pulp first developed when there was a financial depression, and no one had a job. But some, you know, particularly in the States, some people knew how to write, and they wrote these stories. And when you're in a slump of a depression, mentally, financially, spiritually, as a reader, a simple story can lift you away from the depression or slump that you're in. You know, maybe fleetingly, but it's a way of release. And I think, what we're experiencing now in the modern world is another depression. And people want to be able to buy a book on Kindle for 99 cents or for free and be transported away from whatever tedious, monotonous existence they find themselves in. But if we look at pulp and if we look at Hollywood and we see Batman and we see Spider-Man, or going back a few years, we see Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark. These are all, you know, these are all pulp traditional stories. So I think pulp has always been with us. It's seeing a particular revival right now, but it's always been there, and I think it always will be.
Mm. Now you're coming up with a new Joe Dillon book, The Black Rose. I've looked at it. I haven't had a chance to read all of it because I've been incredibly lazy this week, and I'm terribly sorry, but I've enjoyed it. In fact, I want to chase back the other three. Joe Dillon is a very flawed character. Is there any of you in Joe Dillon?
I would say Joe is probably more flawed than I. But each and every character a novelist creates has a certain part of him or herself in it, in that character. The latest book, The Black Rose, is probably too autobiographical. I go back to London in the 1990s, and nothing that specifically happened to me is described, but the general feeling and the people around me at that time are described. So, you know, it's an old question that's asked of many novelists, but yeah, I think William Burroughs said, when he was asked what percentage are your books autobiographical, and he said completely, 100%. You know, and Bukowski, I think, said 80%. But to create a character as a novelist that has nothing of the author in it is a simple cardboard cutout and won't work.
Jeffrey Archer. Yes. But it's interesting you...
100%.
Interesting you say William Burroughs. It's the second interview in an evening where his name has come up. I was reading The Gwas Affair for an earlier interview, and that felt like Burroughs. I've been reading Barry Miles's new Burroughs biography in between reading your book, The Gwas Affair, and something else, and it's all run together.
How is the new Burroughs?
Oh, beautiful.
The Barry Miles updated.
Call Me Burroughs. It's great. It fills in all the gaps that his earlier work left out. Now they've got access to the archives again.
Well, I hear from a friend of mine that there's a lot of information about his time in London as well in the 60s.
That's the part that filled in for me.
It was left out for kind of legal reasons, I guess.
Yeah.
While he was still alive.
Yeah. It's amazing. You should definitely latch hold of it. Definitely. But how big an influence has Burroughs had on you?
Huge. I mean, enormous. The first novel I took seriously, I think, was Cities of the Red Night. I read when I was 18 or 19 years old, and I was a musician at the time, and they say, you know, listening to The Velvet Underground and Nico, out of all the people that listened to the album, you know, 80% of them joined the band, and reading Burroughs for the first time actually gave me the kind of idea that I could do it, you know, that you could write about any kind of subject, you could play around with plot or not even have a plot. Although my novels are quite plot heavy, I just thought it was great writing, and I was amazed that he was you know, on the shelves in the bookstore. Kind of punk rock sensibility to it, you know, which I admired at the time.
Well, looking back at Burroughs' early work, it was written as pulp. He wrote Junkie and Naked Lunch, and when I look at those, and I look at your work, I think, he's right, you know, it has come full circle.
I mean, Junkie was a pulp book, and to a certain extent, you know, Queer was a junk book, a pulp book. And certain passages of Naked Lunch are very pulp, and Cities of the Red Night, you have this whole kind of Dashiell Hammett private detective character that's written purely in the pulp tradition. You know, Burroughs, as a young guy, read Chandler, he read pulp, along with reading Jenna and Celine and Conrad, and you know, it's a whole hodgepodge of influences in his work, which goes back to your earlier question. Should a writer read a lot? And I agree, absolutely, they should.
Mm. Speaking of reading a lot, if people want to read a lot of your work, where can they go to find out more about it?
Well, I have obviously Amazon, and I have a blog, which think I have about 10 novel-length works on the market. Many short stories spread around here and there. But you have to dig around a bit, you know. You won't find it in your local Waterstones or whatever bricks and mortar stores still survive, I don't know.
But you will find it on bankingpulppress.com?
Yeah, you can buy direct, yeah, sure. Yeah, we've got a new interactive website, www.spankingpulppress.com. And you can actually get free books there if you sign up for our book club, so you can read other authors, and all we ask for is a short review.
I think that's important. I think interaction with a reader and actually getting feedback is more use to an author than being told, oh, you sold X this week.
But this is the wonderful thing about the internet. I mean, I kind of learnt my craft from going onto forums, submitting work and getting critiques back. And now, obviously, with Amazon, you have reviews which can help you. You know, negative reviews don't bother me. I always find what anyone has to say interesting. The publishing industry has just changed immeasurably in the last, 4 or 5 years.
What's next for you, James? Because The Black Rose is very nearly out.
It's out.
It's out.
It's, I think, 2 days ago. It just came out. I'm doing a zombie anthology with two other very talented authors, Jason Beach and John Bruni. And that will probably be the next thing with my name on. Itchy Park came out, another novel. I've had 3 novels out in the last 3 weeks. It's been quite an intense period, but what's next for me right now is a friend of mine is leaving Bangkok to go back to the US. He was a minor, I shouldn't say minor, a major pop star in the US, and he's going back. He's been in Bangkok, he's going back, so I'm going to go and say goodbye to him tonight. That's what's next for me right now.
Right. In that case, James, we had better let you go and see this major pop star off. But look, it's been wonderful talking to you. It's not every day I can put my hands up and say, go and read James Newman's new book, and while you're at it, read Barry Miles' biography of Burroughs. But there you go.
Well, if you read both, your life will be perfect. No going back.
That's the only way to go. Thank you very much for that, James.
Yeah.
And I'll hopefully catch up with you for when the zombie anthology comes out.